You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, so we're a little bit late going live tonight on this Thursday here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Shout out to everybody watching us live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Everybody watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We appreciate you watching along with us and hope that you will go ahead and smash that like button if you would. We appreciate it. That's the thumbs up on YouTube. I think it's a thumbs up on Facebook as well. But thanks everybody for watching. If you were waiting for us, we got a little late start this evening because sometimes when you're a dad, dad duty calls. And as it happens, my son, who is in first grade, had a visit from the firefighters. Our local firefighters visited him at school today, and they taught him a whole lot about fire safety and also convinced him that our entire house was going to burn down. And that if our house didn't burn down, our neighbor's house would burn down. And what are we going to do? And how is there's going to be smoke and there's going to be fire? And he was just a little freaked out. And so had to spend some time calming him down. And, you know, it's kind of appropriate because I think there have been a lot of Miami Dolphin fans who've been a little freaked out over the course of this past week, after what happened at the hands of the Buffalo Bills in Washington, in Buffalo. And so now we got to calm them down. Everybody's got to calm down a little bit. And we got an opportunity this Sunday, Brain, for the Dolphins to have a little bounce back game, a little get right game against the New York Giants. Now, Mike McDaniel says he does not believe in get right games. But I mean, this is a get-right game. And I think one of the funniest things about this game, Brain, and we'll give you your, you can give me your take on this, but here's the thing. The Dolphins' defense has to have at least, they don't need to be dominant, but they have to be at least good in this game. You know, they can't give up 3-4 touchdowns to the Giants. They've got to get things under control, and they've got to look like, you know, what you would expect at least an average NFL defense to look like. But even if they, let's say, give up 13 points to the Giants, hold them under 300 yards of total offense, hold them under, you know, say 250 yards of total offense, and they win that game, I don't think you're going to learn anything about the defense if they do that against the Giants. Likewise, I don't know that you're going to learn anything about the defense if they have a pretty good showing against the Panthers. I think the next time you're going to learn about the Dolphins defense being a good defense or taking a step forward is if they can put up a good showing against the Eagles. That's kind of like the next test for this defense in terms of like really truly being a, you know, taking a step forward as a defense. So I don't think a good or solid performance defensively against a terrible offense like the one that the Giants have, or an offense under a rookie quarterback like the Panthers have, is going to teach you a whole lot. But the thing is, if they don't have a good showing against the New York Giants this weekend? That does tell you something, and it tells you that there's a big problem on that side of the ball, Brian.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I do think that, in general, two things. One, we need to calm down a little bit because I think it's very early and the defense was up and down through the first 2 weeks and then got completely shellacked against one of the better offenses in the league on the road, missing a couple of pieces. And you're not going to make excuses. They got dominated. I think there was a lot that went into that. But I think we're kind of going over the top here with all the talk about, you know, Vic Fangio being a fraud and the defense being better suited to, you know, be coached by Josh Boyer and all of that nonsense. That's one thing. I think the other thing is we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the praise that we've put on a lot of these quote unquote cornerstone players on the defensive side of the ball. Jalen Phillips hasn't been healthy, so it's tough to get on him a lot. But even when he, you know, even in the games that he did play, he was relatively a non-factor. Christian Wilkins has been solid, but has played nowhere near the level that warrants the type of contract that he's asking for. Bradley Chubb had one really good game against the Patriots against, you know, a backup offensive tackle and otherwise has been completely neutralized. So, you know, how good are those guys? Then you look in the secondary, Xavien Howard, the bounce back season. Now, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, he didn't get the opportunity to really show what he could do against Buffalo because they put Kader Kohu on, you know, Stephon Diggs for the majority of the game. And feel however you want to feel about that. The reason that they did that is because Xavien Howard has been getting beat all season by speed receivers. So I don't know that we would have seen a much bigger difference in the result had we put Xavien Howard on the other side. Let's bring up Kader Kohu. A lot of talk about Kader Kohu being, you know, oh, he really stepped into his own at the end of last season and he's going to make this huge jump and he looked really good. I'll say this about Kader Kohu. He's a solid player and a hell of a find as an undrafted free agent. He might be the best tackling. He probably is the best tackler as a corner, on this team, but he's not like an all pro corner. Like we need to pump the brakes a little bit on that. I think the idea that this defense was going to be elite was predicated on those players playing at an extremely high level. And honestly, I think we've overrated them. It's early, but I think we've overrated them. I've seen enough over the past, you know, however many games since we traded for Bradley Chubb to know that Bradley Chubb is not elite. He's a solid player, but he's overpaid. We probably gave up too much for him. I'm glad he's on the team because he's a good asset, but he's overpaid. And, you know, we're not really seeing, you know, any idea, any hope that we had of this defense being elite was predicated on us getting pressure with our front four and the whole idea that we've got Bradley Chubb on one side and Jalen Phillips on the other. Well, hopefully Jalen Phillips gets healthy and we see more of that, but I don't think you have an elite edge rusher on the other side. Now, I do think that if you have both of those guys healthy and in the game, we've seen a lot of promising things from Andrew Van Ginkle, and that enables you to move Andrew Van Ginkle around. And I do think that will have a great impact on what this defense can be. I think getting Jalen Ramsey back at some point is going to have a big impact on making this defense better. And I think as time goes on and they generally learn the defense better, I think the defense will get better. I think what this defense is now is probably the worst version of the defense that you're going to see, barring injuries. And so I think we need to take a step back and trust. I mean, look, a month ago before the season started, everybody was talking about how the biggest acquisition that the Dolphins made this offseason was Vic Fangio. And here we are 4 weeks later and you got people ready to fire him. It's a little insane. The guy's got a track record of being an elite defensive coordinator in every single stop that he's been in. I think he deserves a little bit of a longer leash than let's fire him after they had a bad game against the Bills.
Oh, yes, I think that's absolutely the case. But I mean, you know, again, it wasn't that they just had a bad game against the Bills. It's they've been, you know, not great all season. Gave up, you know, big play after big play against the Chargers, you know, and then against two somewhat inept teams in the Patriots and Broncos, they performed well. And let's not forget that, you know, that Broncos game, probably they're giving up more points, if not for a couple of big turnovers in that game. So, you know, I'm not calling for Vic Fangio's head. Clearly not. And what one of the things that you've seen is that where Vic Fangio goes, it takes a few years for his system to really sink in and for him to really get all the horses. And it's clear, at least through four games, that he is not getting what he needs out of the players on this roster. And that's not his fault, because this is largely the team that was in place when he came in. Now, I mean, I'm not completely absolving him of blame here. There's certainly blame to go around, and some of the decisions that he's made and some of his sort of rigidity is certainly something that you can point a finger at him and you can blame him for that. But, you know, I'm not calling for anybody's head. It's a 2 year window. This is year one, and then you've got next year. Obviously, I'm not trying to move the goalposts or anything, but I'm also not trying to fire the guy.
You throwing anyway. In the towel on this
I'm
year?
Not throwing in the towel. I'm not throwing in the towel. I think there's still... I mean, the good news is, if one of the big problems seems to be communication on the field and guys and their assignments and figuring that sort of thing out, and that's the sort of thing that, as time goes on, they're going to theoretically get better at, right? So theoretically, as this season goes on, we're going to see improvement. And that's, I mean, at this point, that's all you can do is hope for, because, you know, you might bring in, you know, a little bit of support here, or a little bit of support there, whether it's a late free agent acquisition, whether it's you make another trade, you know, near the deadline. But, you know, you're not bringing in some blockbuster inside linebacker that's going to help bolster the defense. Like, that's not happening unless you know, dig way down deep and make some kind of crazy trade late in the season, or, you know, late in the trade window. That's not something that I'm going to hold my breath waiting for at this point in time. But the fact remains, the Dolphins have an opportunity to bounce back against the New York Giants team that has struggled thus far in the season, right? And as you pointed out, Brain, the idea of the Dolphins defense being elite was all predicated on the idea that we would be able to generate pressure with our front four. In a world where Jalen Phillips is back on Sunday, we're talking about a New York Giants team that is missing at least three starting offensive linemen. And we saw Daniel Jones get sacked 11 times on Monday Night Football by the Seattle Seahawks. By the sounds of it, looking at the injury report right now, it looks like there are certainly going to be Lemieux, Schmitz, Thomas, all looking like still being out. Marcus McKeithen, Evan Neal, also limited for the Giants. So who knows what their status is going to be come Sunday. But this is a Giants team that needs quite a bit of help on the offensive line. And if this Dolphins team, with the front four that we have, can't generate consistent pressure in this game coming up, there are serious, serious problems, because this is like, you know, I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody, these are all professionals. Everybody's out there. Everybody's playing for pride at the very least. But if you can't go out there and impose your will on this particular offensive line, then I don't know what you're going to be able to do going forward this season.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree. And it kind of comes back to the point that this should be a get right game. And I don't blame Mike McDaniel for saying he doesn't believe in get right games. I think that's just showing a little bit of savvy to the media, because if you go out there and you say this is a get right game, you're definitely giving the Giants bulletin board material. So good job on him, you know, sidestepping that. But absolutely, this is a get right game. And it's, you know, for the most part, it's a get right game for the defense. I think to a certain extent, you can expect the offense to play better as well. But ultimately, I think what most Dolphin fans probably are feeling right now is, I think we're in the same boat, is we feel pretty good about our offense, and we feel like we can kind of go toe to toe with just about anybody with our offense, as long as our defense can be average to above average. I think the idea of this defense being elite, we definitely need to put that on hold until this defense shows that it can do something against any kind of good offense and with any kind of consistency. But if this defense can be average, we feel good about what this offense can be. And against an offense in the Giants that has been just about the worst in the league, this should be a get right game for the defense.
Can we talk about something that's same old Dolphins?
Sure.
I know these are not necessarily the same old Dolphins, right? We talked about that after the Buffalo game. I'm not ready to say that yet, but is there anything more same old Dolphins than having a defensive unit that you feel so good about for so long and an offense that can't get out of its own way? And then you're like, we just need that offense to take a step forward. We just need that offense to get better. We just need that offense to get. And then the offense finally gets there, and then the defense can't get out of its own way. That's, I mean, like, it's the eternal cycle of the Miami Dolphins, is we can never have great units on both sides of the ball at the same time.
The fear is that we have completely reverted to the Dan Marino prime years.
Yeah.
Where we have this unstoppable offense, and you always feel like you're in the game, even if you fall behind, because you've got this great offense that can score super quickly. But the defense just can't stop anybody. So you're losing games 38-35. You know, and then we had all the, you know, the 25 years since, 30 years now almost, or I guess it's been like 20 years since Marino. 25 years or whatever it is, where we were losing games 16-13. What I'll say is, given the choice between the two, I'd still prefer to have the entertainment value of a really high scoring offense. Yeah. That you feel like you're never out of the game. But I think, you know, we've come to a point where we really are setting the bar a little bit higher, and we need both of these, you know, the offense and the defense to get the job done. But you're right. You know, the second the offense got to where it needed to be, we had all these expectations of the defense, and now it looks like it's fallen off. I think we'll be okay. But yeah. let's show something out there for, you know, let's get right for a week so we can feel good, and let's take it from there.
Well, we sort of got 2 weeks to get right, but yeah, I mean, the big thing is you have to win. you have to win this game. If the Dolphins somehow don't win the next two games, it's a 5-alarm fire. So I'll say that. It's like, you can't lose either of these games. You simply cannot.
Oh, and then you're totally looking at comparing this team to what it was last year and what it's been for the past few years, which is a very streaky team. You can't let one bad week turn into two bad weeks, three bad weeks. You just got to bounce back. If you go out there and you take care of business, I don't even want to get into the Carolina game, because I want to see them just take care of business with this one first. But that we should really be talking about a 5-1 football team going into that game against Philadelphia.
As of today, the line is Dolphins -12.5. So it tells you what. Yeah, the line has gone up. I think it opened. The Dolphins opened as 9.5-point favorites. It's gone up to 12.5. Most of the bets have been on the Dolphins. So you had people, taking the Dolphins -9.5, which tells you what people think. I mean, it tells you that the Dolphins' offense is something that people still believe in, even after that Buffalo game, which, as you sort of alluded to, it was a game in the last episode. It was very much a game script situation that forced the Dolphins into certain decisions that they needed to make to be overly aggressive. And as a result, they ended up, not scoring as many points, but they were moving the ball, I think, fairly well in that game, even against Buffalo's defense. And I would suspect that that's something that's going to happen again against the Giants. But a key, if that is going to happen, Brain, a key to making sure the Dolphins can move the ball against the Giants, because it sounds like, well, we've already ruled out Teron Armstead. He's not going to be playing in this game Sunday. The key is whether or not Connor Williams is going to be good to go. He's practiced on a limited basis both times, Wednesday and Thursday this week. They was reportedly close to being able to go last week. So the question is whether or not he's going to be able to go on Sunday, so that you're not starting yet again with Liam Eichenberg at center. And let me just say, well, Robert Jones is back, so there's a possibility that he could potentially be in as your starting center, because he's got the capability of playing that position if the Dolphins decide to do that instead of going with Liam Eichenberg at center again. But you know how good we feel about that. But because I think if there's one strength that this Giants team has, it is that defensive front. And that is an area where the Dolphins could find themselves in trouble if Connor Williams isn't back and this offensive line can't sort of get their act together and get right in this game against the Giants as well.
That's true. But I also think, this is where, the defense plays its part. And as long as the game doesn't get away from you, you can be balanced. You're not going to have the defense pinning their ears back, whether Connor Williams plays or not. I don't think we're going to see the onslaught of pressure on Tua that we saw in the second half, because it was largely in the second half that the Bills really started to generate all that pressure on Tua. And it's because they knew that the Dolphins were going to become one dimensional and were going to throw to try to get back into the game. So because of that, I do think that the Dolphins are going to try to make a concerted effort to have a little bit more balance in this game. But I think that's also on the defense to kind of, allow that to happen. And it's on the offense to, again, get off to a quick start. One thing that we've definitely seen since Mike McDaniel has been here, and honestly, even in the year that Tua was the starting quarterback without Mike McDaniel, is that Tua has been really, really sharp on script beginning of halves. I expect, and it's been at a whole other level this season. The Dolphins offense has looked virtually unstoppable at the beginning of halves this season. So I expect the Dolphins to get off to a fast start. If the defense holds their own, the Dolphins could be playing this game with a lead. That will really, that type of game script will allow Miami to keep the Giants off balance. I expect to see a lot of outside zone. I think if Connor Williams is healthy and is playing in this game, then I think that allows you to play more inside zone. I think if he's not playing, then I think it does lend to a little bit more of the outside zone and does make the Dolphins a little bit more predictable on offense as far as with their running game. So you may see them lean on the passing game more. But in general, I think Miami is going to have success moving the ball against this Giants defense. I just don't think they're going to, pound their head against the wall trying to run up the middle if Liam Eichenberg is at center. But even if he is at center, I think you can make it work with what you've got there. Even in that game against Buffalo, Miami had plenty of scoring drives and plenty of other drives that could have ended in points had they not been chasing the scoreboard.
Yeah. So I'm curious what the Dolphins are going to do, what their plan of attack is going to be. I imagine they're going to take the usual tack because their aerial attack is working pretty efficiently. I'm curious when they're going to start to work in Jaylen Waddle a little more. I also think it's important to note that, even though he was missing for much of the second half against Denver Broncos, but River Craycraft is a big loss for the Miami Dolphins because he is a physical blocking wide receiver. And that is one of the things that he does really, really well. And so the fact that he hasn't been out there, that he wasn't out there in the Buffalo game, and that he's not going to be out there for the next few weeks, at least, is something that the Dolphins are going to miss. Eric Azukama is another big physical presence that the Dolphins are going to be missing as he is dealing with this neck issue that goes back to his college days. So I'm curious to see what the Dolphins do, how they continue to implement Devon Achane into their offensive attack. He's dynamite. Did you know that he's played in, what, three games, right? Because he played in very limited action in the New England game, and then he blew up against Denver, and he, you know, had another good game last week against Buffalo. But Achane is like number five in the NFL in total rushing yards right now.
It's insane, and he's probably up at the top in like rushing touchdowns.
Let me take a look at what he
or what touchdowns in general, because I think he had a two. Did he score the touchdowns on the no look shovel passes?
Yes, those are receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, but I mean, he had what? He had four touchdowns in the game against Denver, and then I think he had two touchdowns in this game.
He had two touchdowns. Yep, he had two touchdowns.
Six touchdowns in two games on what? How many touches? He probably had like 25 touches in the two games. Like, I mean, dude's averaging a touchdown every four touches. Like, it's insane.
It is pretty ridiculous. He's number six in the NFL in total rushing yards with 309. Just to be clear, number three is a tie between James Conner and Bijan Robinson, both who have 318. Mind you that Devon Achane has essentially only played two games. Right. Well, I mean, he played very limited action in that New England game.
And where's Raheem Mostert on that list? Because Mostert's been pretty solid as well.
Mostert is further down. Mostert has 249 rushing yards. I mean, Mostert has been very solid, but a lot of his production has come in the passing game.
Still impressive because he's on pace for the Dolphins are on pace to have 2,000 yard rushers.
That would be pretty exciting. When was the last time that happened? 2008.
While Tua is leading the league in passing yards.
Yeah. It has been a long time since the Dolphins have had this kind of weaponry on offense. And as you said, it's pretty exciting. It's exciting to watch.
It's exciting to watch. I think everything is really built on the passing game right now because the defenses have to respect Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. I do think Jaylen Waddle's too good of a receiver for him to just disappear the way that he has. And I think, you know, some of that probably goes on the offensive line, and some of that probably goes on Tua, and probably some of that goes on Waddle himself. And, you know, maybe some of that goes on Mike McDaniel a little bit. But I'm sure that they'll find a way to work him in. But I don't think that the Dolphins need to make – I don't think the Dolphins need to overthink their offensive strategy right now.
No.
Because I think offensive strategy has by and large been working every single week. If the Dolphins get the defense right, this offense is plenty good enough to probably put up 30 points every single week, and we're going to win a lot of football games that way. And the big plays are going to come from Waddle. You know, there's just – There's only so many plays, and there's only so many places the ball can go. When Devon Achane is as efficient as he's been running the football, when Raheem Mostert has been as efficient as he is, both running and receiving, when Tyreek Hill is as efficient as he is, like, there's only so many touches that Waddle is going to get, but they're going to continue to get the ball to Jaylen Waddle in space when they can, the same way that they're going to try. They're going to try to continuously, more and more over the season, get those four guys on the field so that they can create space to get the ball into those guys' hands with the chance to make plays. It's really exciting. The one piece that I think everybody was kind of questioning was Achan. I was totally wrong about him. He runs a lot tougher than I thought he did. And you know that the speed and explosiveness is there. So, I mean, with the way he's playing, with the way Mostert's playing, you know what you got in Tyreek and Waddle. Offensive line just needs to hold it together a little bit. Tua just needs to stay on track. Offense is going to be outstanding. We just need the defense to hold up their end of the bargain.
That's it. I mean, it's pretty nice to have an offense that is a pretty finely tuned machine. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much the big picture when you're talking about this game that is upcoming. So before we get into our one hot take for this game, Brain, I think we need to remind everybody to make sure that they're following us. Okay. I'm at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, like the I Am a Miami Dolphin Facebook page, and what else we got? Oh, download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and everywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. If you leave us a 5-star rating, if you leave us a positive review, Alex left us a review this week on Spotify. So I didn't even know you can leave reviews on Spotify, but you can. So thank you, Alex, for doing that. We appreciate it. And yeah, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day, your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. Make sure you're visiting CalderaLabs.com to get all of the skin stuff for your face so you look young and rejuvenated. They've also now got some beard stuff for you as well. So, you know, listen, if you're a guy and you're into, or you're into using, you know, male face products, Caldera Labs got you covered. It's CalderaLabs.com. Promo code Dolphins Talk gets you a 20% discount off of your order. And you're going to get some good stuff to make your face look younger. Brain, we got to get you some of that beard stuff.
Yeah, I was using beard stuff from another company, but I didn't know that Caldera Labs has beard products now. So I may be taking advantage of the promo code Dolphins Talk and get me some of that.
Excellent. Well, there it is. So do like the Brain. Go to Caldera Labs and use the promo code Dolphins Talk. So here we go. Brain, it's time for our one hot take. So I need to know what your one hot take is for Giants at Dolphins this Sunday.
I'm going to double down on my hot take from a couple weeks ago. I think that the Dolphins get 6 sacks or more. You have to count their sacks on 2 hands. Dolphins get 2 sacks in this game. I'm saying 2 from the much maligned Bradley Chubb, because he's going to go up against this is going to be the thing with Bradley Chubb, is Bradley Chubb's going to produce every time he goes up against a backup offensive lineman. So Bradley Chubb's going to get 2 sacks. Jalen Phillips is going to get on the board with a sack. Andrew Van Ginkle's going to get on the board with a sack. We're going to get at least one guy from the secondary in there. And I think Christian Wilkins gets on the board with a sack as well.
Wow. It's going to be like sacks all around over there.
I mean, we only need to get what? A little more than half of what Seattle got to get there?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. So hopefully we can live up to that. Let's see some of the one hot takes that we've gotten from our friends on Twitter. At Corbin623 says 73-17. That's the hot take. I wonder, he doesn't indicate who's scoring what. So I'm assuming that it's the Dolphins winning 73-17. Be a really hot take if it was the other way around. Mike says Devon Achan runs for 3 touchdowns. Your boy Turo says both Waddle and Hill are scoring a touchdown, and Waddle's going over 100 yards. Benjamin Wilson says Dolphins win 45-17. Same old Lolfins. Doug's GT500 says Chubb almost gets a sack. How about this one? Hippus MC1 says two of 500 yards, four touchdowns. Let's see. Dante Xavier says Miami wins big but gives up approximately 350 yards on defense. Giants find something in the passing game. I mean, that's a realistic possibility. Our friend Throwbacks Forever says it's the last time the Dolphins play the Giants with the current uniform. That's very on brand. At Finn's Doc says Tua still the league MVP through week five. Here we go. At GatorGrad929 says Giants will have the lead going into the fourth quarter. Finn Central 305 says starters will be on the bench by the end of the third quarter. So that's a kind of an opposite zone there. Patrick Mullen says a well-known defensive starter will be a healthy scratch. Is that a shot at Eli Apple? I wonder. Let's see. Nick UVA for life says Cater gets an interception. And Three Kids Are Blessed says game goes under 35 as both teams' defensive lines dominate and keep the game close. I would love it if the Dolphins' defensive line dominated. That would be tremendous. Let's see what we got here in the chat. Josh Ritter says one hot take. This is the game Waddle has 200 plus yards and two touchdowns. Jordan Murray says Dolphins six sacks and three interceptions against the Giants. That would be terrific. Let's see what other, let's see any other quotes here. No, I think that's, those are the big ones from the listening audience. So let me share with you mine. I'm sticking to my guns here, Brain. Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. Sticking with it. All right, Brain, we're going to have you make your prediction here in just a minute. But first, I have a very important question for you. The quarterback of the New York Giants, his name is Danny Douchebag. Okay, I mean, like, they call him Danny Dimes. He's playing football like Danny Douchebag. Okay, so.
Very mean.
So, what?
Very mean.
Well, it's nothing against him personally. He's playing football like a douchebag. What do you want from me? Listen, I'm sure he's a very nice person, douchebag.
What kind of football is Bradley Chubb playing? Is he playing like a douchebag?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a witty nickname. isn't he the astronaut? Is that Bradley Chubb, the astronaut?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere. But anyway, the point of this conversation here, Bryn, is I need to know, what kind of bagel is Danny Douchebag? That's Daniel Jones, by the way.
Yeah.
What kind of bagel is Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones is... he's the kind of bagel that you get at, like, a really uppity... like cafe, like high end cafe that just happens to have like a bagel on the menu. You're going to pay like three times what you should pay for that bagel. And it's going to be subpar. I don't know necessarily. You're probably going to pay like you've got your choice of what type of bagel you're going to get, but you're probably just going to end up with a really chewy, you know, plain bagel. It's going to be toasted, but it's going to be dry. And they're not even going to have cream cheese. So it's going to be butter, and it's just not going to be good. And you're going to have paid like, you know, $6 for your toasted bagel with butter.
I was thinking like this is an $18 bagel.
Well, I mean, so you're saying he's like eight or nine times, or like, like how much do you pay for a bagel with cream cheese? Like,
I am saying what I'm saying.
$3.
Well, I don't know. You know, I, honestly, where I live, you don't really get a bagel with cream cheese. But where, what I'm saying is,
you're right. I mean, that probably, if you're paying $4 for a bagel with cream cheese, the Daniel Jones bagel is probably like $16 because it's like four times more expensive than it should be.
And the fact is, nobody should be paying that much money for this particular bagel. There are bagels. There are bagels that could be prepared in such a way that you could justify a $15 bagel. Daniel Jones, Danny Douchebag, is not a $15 bagel.
This is a good one. Jordan Murray brings in, he's a bagel you buy in the Walmart freezer section. And that's true. The problem, like, he's like a lender's bagel, but you're paying like $15 for like one bagel.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, right. It's just like you pay $15 for that lender's bagel, and then they give you half of the bagel. And then, like, you've asked for cream cheese. They've given you a little bit of butter. And they've put, like, a piece of parsley on it. You know,
they give
as
you
a garnish.
Like that little Land O'Lakes pat of butter.
Yeah, they want to just dress it up a little bit for you. And they're like, here's your bagel. That'll be $15. And then you're stuck with it. And then in the meantime, you've got these fantastic hash browns. Right? You've got these fantastic, like, delicious hash browns. Maybe you've got some eggs. Maybe you got a beautiful omelet. Right? You got a beautiful omelet that can do a lot of different things for you. And... you know, this is I'm making the Saquon Barkley analogy right now.
So is he the omelet?
He's the omelet.
The hash browns? Because I don't think they've got the hash browns.
I guess the hash brown. I was trying to. I guess Dable would be more like the cook, right?
Yeah,
Dable would be the cook.
Well, I think Dable would be kind of like your trendy cook that, you know, gets kind of a spotlight and, you know, gets a bunch of people in his restaurant, but then he's like charging more than what he really should. And he's a little bit overrated because, you know, he moves to a different, he goes and he opens up a different restaurant. He doesn't have quite the same staff and that restaurant kind of falls apart. And then you realize, well, maybe it was because the staff was so good at his other restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. Yeah, this guy is. So suffice this to say, we're not sold on Daniel Jones here. Anyway,
we're not sold on Daniel Jones, for that matter,
or Brian Dable, I guess, for that matter. So, all right. Speaking of Saquon Barkley, we don't know whether or not he's gonna play. He's practiced on a limited basis last couple of days when he suffered his high ankle sprain. They said it was 2 to 3 weeks. My thinking is that even if he does play, he's not Saquon Barkley in this game. You know, like, that's the kind of situation that we're in. He might play, but he's not going to be he's not going to be elite Saquon Barkley. But let's do it. Let's make some predictions here, Brain. What do you got this Sunday? Miami Dolphins at home against the New York Giants. Bounce back game. They will know that there's a small chance that they could be playing to go back into first place in the AFC East if the Jacksonville Jaguars somehow defeat the Buffalo Bills in London this week. But either way, they're playing for themselves. They got to get back on track. Are they going to do it against the Giants on Sunday?
Yeah, this is going to be a get-right game, and I think the Dolphins are going to put together a complete performance. People will say, well, you're not going to find out, you know, a whole lot about the Dolphins. It's not going to prove anything. Well, yeah, that might be the case. I don't think this team really is going to necessarily prove anything until we get to January. But what they'll prove by bouncing back and having a commanding victory is that they're not the team that they were last year, and that they are still on course to be a real contender this year. Last week, just a bump in the road. Dolphins will bounce back. They will move the ball on offense at will, just as they have done virtually all season. Defense will play better. Will I be surprised if the Giants have a few wrinkles and play better? Look, when a team gets humbled the way the Giants got humbled last week, you know, giving up 11 sacks, they're going to make adjustments too. They're professionals too. So I'm sure the Giants are looking at this as an opportunity to get better as well. So do I think that the Dolphins are going to go in there and absolutely, you know, shut out the Giants offense? No, I don't think so. But I think the Dolphins defense will have success. I think the offense will really put the pressure on. They'll build the lead. And that's what this defense is going to be, built to do, so that they can sit back in coverage, bring some pressures, force turnovers against a really bad offense. And I think Miami wins this one going away. I'll call it 45-16.
Wow. Okay. I like it. I like it. It's a good prediction. I like the 40 burger. That's good. I think there's going to be a 40 burger too. What'd you say? 45-16?
I said 45-16.
See, 45 was the total I had in my head, and I don't want to give the same, but I don't want to call the 50 burger either, but screw it. I'm gonna 52. I'm going to say this though, 52-31.
Ooh.
Defense is going to be better, but not great.
Let me ask you a question. The 31.
Yeah.
How much of that 31 comes in the fourth quarter in garbage time?
I mean, probably at least a little bit of it, right?
Well, because, let's say you're up 45-17 through three quarters. Defense has played a pretty good game through three quarters. Game is in hand. You almost, the two touchdowns that you give up in the fourth quarter are relatively meaningless at that point. On the other hand, if this is a game where the Dolphins have given up 24 points or 28 points or 31 points through three quarters, well, then there's going to be a lot of questions about the defense coming out of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say 52-31. Those points are going to be spread around. There will be some drives where the defense looks great, and there's going to be some drives where the defense does not look great. I think Daniel Jones might rush for 45 yards in this game. He'll probably be the leading rusher for the Giants in this game. I hope he's the leading rusher. If never mind. Anyway, 31. 52-31. Dolphins get the win. They cover. So there we go. At 12.5 point line, they're going to cover. And that is, I think, going to wrap us up for this episode. Brain, anything else you want to say about this game before we move on? I think, the bottom line is this is a huge game that Dolphins have to win. And I think, quite frankly, they also have to win it convincingly. So, I mean, that's kind of where this team is. Based on who this team is and what this team wants to be, this is a game where you really need to go in there and you need to win this game and you need to be impressive in doing so. And if the Dolphins go in there and they win the game, first of all, a win is a win is a win is a win. So if they win, that's the big thing. But if the Dolphins come out of this game and they somehow win it by like a, on like a 24-20 kind of deal, that's going to raise some questions, right?
Yeah. So it's not the way that you'd want this game to go, considering how it went last week. Still, you'll take a win. At the end of the day, you got to win the game.
Right.
I don't care if you win by 1 point or you win by 30 points. At the end of the day, you better win the game. But obviously, if you are in a dogfight with the Giants at home, there's going to be a lot more questions that come out of that. But as far as, any parting thoughts that I have for this one, the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City put together a great start to the season, and the Dolphins still managed to win the first 3 weeks in their head-to-head matchup against the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And while the Dolphins took a step back last week, the Real Housewives just kept getting better. And they did it again on Tuesday. So all I want from the Miami Dolphins is to be more like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and just don't disappoint. Just get better every week. Show me some top-tier football the way those ladies show me some top-tier housewivery, and we'll be 4-1.
I love that. I love it. In the immortal words of one of my professors from college, anytime you would ask him how he's doing, he'd say, getting better all the time. The housewives seem to be getting better all the time. Can the Dolphins be getting better all the time? We're going to find out on Sunday against the Giants. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Follow us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. Subscribe to the channel, download the podcast, review the podcast, rate the podcast. We appreciate it very much. We will be back with you live Monday night to recap what happens against the Giants. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
I could see Brian Daboll in the kitchen with an apron, flipping some eggs on a flat top.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm not a Dolphins.